The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Somehow staggered through another very difficult week for a lot of people. I hope you had a nice day yesterday. We are back. It's Friday night, and we have John Barber coming along in an hour for 2 hours tonight to tell us all about his new documentary, which was premiered in Dallas on the 21st. So we'll hear from John about that and much more later. First up is Dean Henderson tonight. Dean, hello. How was your Thanksgiving? Did you have a good day?
Yeah, it was great. How about you?
Well, it was just kind of quiet, just me and...
Yeah, same here.
That was it.
Just you and, me and my wife and my three cats, and it was perfect.
Good.
We started driving, we were going to go somewhere, and this heavy, intense fog set in, uh-huh. And then, along, you know, it was just all these signs, and we were just like, no.
You know,
go home.
I'm glad to hear you had a good day.
Crazy out there, man.
Nice.
Yeah, you too. I mean,
well,
I mean,
was
it
just,
was okay.
Pardon me?
Was yours good? I mean,
I live alone. I don't have a wife, and
yeah.
I'm wondering if that's even something that's reachable anymore. So many people,
yeah.
There's some really good people out there, but they tend to hide. And
yeah.
A lot of American women and a lot of American men are so confused now and screwed up. You don't even dare take a chance. If you're a woman trying to find the right guy, how the hell do you know who he is? You don't know. And the same with men. I mean, women are now men in many ways, and men are now so effeminate.
They flip the gender roles. Yeah,
what do you do? I mean,
it's weird. I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I'm lucky, but if I was ever something happened or whatever, my wife or I was just single, I mean, I would be very cautious. Because there's a lot of nutty people.
And it's hard. And, I'll tell you.
It's hard, too, to be by yourself, I'm sure. So,
Well, it is and it isn't.
It is.
One thing about people, and I raised my daughter by myself, and I really admire single parents, male or female, but especially women who do a good job, who have values. They're so important. And
it's a tough job.
I have nothing but respect for them. And
anyway,
it's culturally we are going through such trauma. It's amazing. Just amazing. So, let's shift over to the obvious topic here. Jill Stein. What's your take on this woman? She's obviously fronting for the Clinton campaign. Obviously.
Why would she do?
I mean,
why would you say fronting for the Clinton campaign? What did she say? Something that I missed? Or I mean,
No. I think that this recount thing, I mean, it's not certainly for her or the Green Party. It's being done primarily.
Oh, she's going for a recount. No, I didn't even know this.
They turned in their petition for Wisconsin. Useless. They're going Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. She's raised more money in crowdfunding online, Dean, than she did for her entire run for president.
Oh, man.
To pay for these recounts.
How? I mean, what's she saying? Why? What's she saying? Why?
Because,
I mean,
that's not particularly clear. She's sort of standing on, well, it's a politically correct and honorable thing to do. But I don't see her like that, though.
I mean, I think it's more like, hey, the Green Party got 1%, really?
Yeah.
I mean, they wouldn't even report us on CNN, man. It was like, oh, Gary Johnson gets 3, 4%. But they've never once showed Jill Stein. Well, why not show her even if she'd got 1%?
They didn't mention her at all. See, I don't watch the MSN.
64 of us voted for her here in Howell County. She got 1%. So, I mean, we got the national average. So, I mean, I bet it's just
That's news. You see, that's
yeah,
not...
Yeah, but I bet it's just more about that, about, hey, man, like, we are the Green Party, and, you know, we matter, too. It's like, we're the 1%ers, man.
I can't quote and tell
Dean. That's just ridiculous to call her, I'm sorry, but it's just ridiculous to call her.
Well, the money came from...
Why do you think Hillary will win, or, I mean...
No. Well, I don't know what'll happen. I do think that anything's on the table at this point. I think, it's small margins. Here's the deal. The money was raised, we find out.
It's over. The election
is
over.
It should be.
They can't overturn an election. They're not going to overturn elections. It's just a bunch of hype. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is either.
That's why I put it out there.
It is what it is. There's no way that's going to happen.
Let me ask you this.
We're talking about Trump.
We're getting there.
But the Green Party, really, I don't know.
I ran a story today. Now, hear this. The money was raised through Jill Stein and the Green Party by a bot online. And I guess that's how you raise money now. That came as a shock to me. I didn't know they did that. The whole thing is strange. I mean, everything.
Did you catch this stuff about Melania Trump and how she's connected to the Spinelli family and the Agnelli family, by any chance?
I didn't. No, I do know she's not moving into the White House, which I think is very strange.
Yeah, she's Slovenian. A lot of the Italian royalty moved there. See, after the House of Savoy went down, the Agnelli's most powerful family. Apparently, she's part of a high-class hooker ring, basically.
Huh.
So there's that.
You know, everybody's got stuff in their closet.
Everybody. So,
Except you and me.
I'm sure. Hey, I probably smoked a little reefer somewhere. You know,
I hope you did.
Catch me if you can. You know?
You actually inhaled, Dean. All right. Here's the problem. Trump has already broken 8 or 9 promises. We knew this was coming. We suspected it.
Yeah.
But now we've got it in print, and we can point to it. And I put up... the promises he made, and I'm going to hold his feet to the fire. You know, you can't lie to the American people. I don't care who you are. That's not the game.
I mean, and then the stuff, Anonymous, did you hear this Anonymous stuff come out with, they're saying Soros, Rothschild had this split, so Soros is back in Clinton and Rothschild was back in Trump.
I missed that. Sorry.
I don't know about Anonymous or whatever. I mean, sometimes you wonder, like, well, if you can be anonymous, you can probably be CIA pretty easy, right? So I don't know if I
necessarily trust that.
But, you know, it's interesting. I haven't looked into it. I just heard it from a friend. But, I mean, there's all these things coming out. And I don't know. It's just a Resorts International thing, you know. But look, he's coming from, he's no outsider. He was funded by Rothschilds. But here's the thing. First thing he says, he comes out and he says, big infrastructure program. Well, who's that sound like? Bernie Sanders. So all of a sudden, what? Trump's a socialist? Cool. You know?
That's TP. That goes back to FDR and socialist stuff.
That's FDR stuff. The vilified FDR that all the right hates. But, I mean, Trump is just, he's a guy never, I don't know, he just wants to be the most popular guy, famous guy, right? So he got that Bernie Sanders message went through, see, and he wants to be popular. So he's taking that idea, and if he just does that, and see, that's what a president should do. Respond to the will of the American people. God forbid, maybe, you know. So, I mean, I'm like, you know, I'm seeing all of it. I'm seeing the up, yeah, the down, the ins, the outs. It is what it is. But Jill Stein, yeah, you got to do nothing. It's done. He's the president. And let's just hope that, you know, things work out.
I think this is just another another quirk in the quirkiest election cycle in American history. There's so much out there. It's crazy. But I'm for building the infrastructure. Bernie,
I mean,
even Hillary said, oh, well, we need to build the infrastructure. Yeah. Well, talk's cheap. Come on, that's the name of the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's huge, and it is socialism, and it's okay. Oh, we're big kids. We can do what we want. We can do some capitalism. We can do some...
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, by golly. And so that's going to be some socialism, and it's going to charge the economy up, and there's going to be a lot of people going to work, and you're going to pay for it, he says, by bringing this corporate money home for a while at, you know, reduced rate, whatever. Getting the home, though.
Well, isn't the best thing that we can invest in our country?
So, yeah, it is. And hopefully he back. And the other thing, of course, really worries me is just Flynn, and he's really anti-Iran, so that concerns me. It's like, how is he going to square that? I mean, you can't say to the Russians, look, we're going to, you know, mess with Iran all over again and expect to get along with Putin. You know, and I just don't know if even they're smart enough to get that. You know, if they even realize, you know, how close Iran and Russia are. And that if you're going to be like that to Iran, no, the Russians are going to tell you to fuck off. You know.
They'll tell you to go away, too.
Yeah, both.
That's what you meant.
I might tell you the latter, but instead of the former, they'll fight our Russians. Sorry. But, hey, we're on the Internet. We're cool.
That's right. Well, we're the alt-media.
That's free speech, baby. Yeah, you bet. Yeah, we're the vilified alt-media. And, of course,
now they're, cool, you know,
you know, fake news and all that, and taking a slap at, you know, all of us.
Here's a funny one. Politico, which has got its own dirty hands, came out. They're trying to launch a new meme now. It's not the alt-right. It's alt-reality. Think about that. Think about that. They're calling it alt-reality. In other words, there's no room for free journalism, real journalism, for truth. It's alt-reality. Now you're a member of a non-reality, an alt-reality.
Even, you know, you watch the football games, man, and, you know, it'll be like the end of the game, and a team will make a great play, execute it perfectly, and at the end of the play, after the ref's got to throw some flag, because some guy in the backfield, I don't know, went in motion on the other side, it's just like, it's basically his political correctness gone mad.
Well, he threw the flag because he got paid,
just
too.
Because, well, yeah, there's that, too. There's that, too. But it's just, I mean, you know, ticky-tacky. I don't know.
Yep, I agree.
You know, it's just not real, and nothing's real. And so talking to you, it's kind of like the pot calling the kettle black, saying alt reality. It's like, no, you're the ones that living in this alt reality, and it's not reality. You know, you're living in not
reality. Alt reality. When I looked at it, I said, come on.
We're doing that.
This is a semantic war on the human mind.
Yeah, and on the definitely, and they're going to try to take. But see, that's what I take the Stein story as. It's kind of like this is the time when people take shots at other, you know. So they're trying to take a shot to all right, you know, at the internet media, and they're trying to take a shot at the Greens and knock them out. See, because they already got enough. At least they can get a little bit easier ballot access. So I don't know who's putting this stuff out about Jill Stein. I don't know. I'd be careful with that one.
I want to know. I'd love to see her explain it, why she's doing it. The motivation is key.
I mean, but who would call her into question? I mean, it's like sore loser or sore winner. I mean, it's like, you know, was that a Trump person that did that? Because that's just like, Jesus, you won. What else do you want? You want a pint of blood, too? You know, or is it...
Well, it doesn't...
I'm just
honestly...
saying, I don't know if it's credible. So where did it come from?
I can't... Well, you got to look into it. She's raised $4 million bucks.
You didn't even bother reporting that. It's not even news.
Yeah. Anyway, check it out.
I'm just trying to compare it with the slap they're taking at the alt media right now.
Yeah.
That they're also taking a slap at the Greens. Have you noticed they're actually punching and kicking the Indians now in North Dakota?
Oh, it's sickening.
Yeah. So it's kind of like this is the thing with Trump. It's like licensed to mess with people of color, and it's happening on college campuses. There's University of Iowa. My sister's an extension agent, man, and there was an Indian killed near her home out in Martin, South Dakota, after the election. Two white guys killed this Indian. Oh, he's a thief. Well, you know, okay, he's a thief, and they burn his body. and they did get caught, and hopefully...
Well, there are sick people on this planet.
Yeah, but it's...
Geez, lots of them.
The message of Trump and all this stuff, and it's like, it's white supremacy. So that's the part that really worries me about Trump, see? Because we, if anything, white people are less than black people and brown people, if you ask me. And less than animals, too. Animals are at the top of all that, by the way, in my opinion. Because they're just, they transcend all this horse shit that we learn and that we're socialized and we're brainwashed into by this capitalist, white supremacist capitalist system is what it is. And we're so privileged in America and Europe. And
I think,
about the blacks, we complain about the Indians.
I know.
I'm white. I'll criticize whites any damn time I want. Don't tell me I'm a white hater. No,
everybody should be open to criticism. I don't like grouping and lumping people of any ethnicity or whatever.
That's what the Trumpy people are doing. It's not me doing it, but it's like you expect to get a fight back, you're going to get it. Nobody's going to sit here. I know black people. You're not going to beat up my black friend. You're not going to take it to my Indian buddy. You're not going to do nothing. I mean, you better just calm down, and they better.
All we can do. We don't have control of the mainstream media. We've got the alt media, but I've been saying for a long time that the alt media, the right wing, left wing, the alternative press, whatever it is, has been so penetrated by the big business moguls and the CIA that we don't know from a day-to-day basis who's who in this business anymore. It's hard. It's almost as screwed up as the MSM.
It's hard, isn't it? No, it's a minefield, man. And
very hard.
So the main thing is this, like I said, it is what it is, and let's wish Trump the best. You know,
now, that's here, Trump.
I mean, like the way I look at like these protests after the fact, that was all Soros. That was all. What are you doing? It's like you don't protest after you lost. You protest up to the election, try to change it.
Thank you very much.
You don't come out like an idiot.
Of course not.
Throw a tantrum and say he's not my president. Well, he is your president. So accept it and
get over it.
Try to help him.
Well, you saw the snowflakes.
If you don't agree with him.
In their crying rooms and getting
him.
Their...
I kind of do despise him as a person, but so what? He's my president. I wish him luck. Of course. We want the country to move ahead. So hopefully the people like Jones and yourself and others were right and that he is different. And let's see.
He's different. I don't like this thing about the so-called snowflakes, Dean, and the universities and colleges pampering these kids with therapy, puppy therapy. What the hell is that all about?
What kids are they doing that with?
The kids that can't accept the fact that Hillary Clinton lost.
Oh, I didn't hear about this. What? Oh, God. No, I had to tell the people that held the nose of the vote for Hillary. Some of my progressive friends did that. I didn't agree with that either. But I tell them, look, it was the best of a terrible, horrible situation that Trump won. Sorry, man. And,
when I look at these stories, Dean,
I mean, it's true. So I go down in flames. You know that. But everybody's just got to, like, I don't know.
We got to get over it.
Together. Well, it's unity. Even Trump,
that's right.
For unity. And he has been. And hopefully he keeps that up. And that's what his thing at the White House inaugural. He has to stress that unity, man.
Yeah. Soros.
Go out of his way to say, look, I'm all your president. And if there's any of this hatred between races and genders and this and that, just get rid of it.
Well, he's been saying that. And it's more and more being pronounced. What worries me is that if it's true that Soros and his whoever they are, are planning to disrupt, if not ruin, the inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to fit 500,000 people there, whatever.
Mm-hmm. They'll do something. Yeah, I'm sure they will.
And you know that. So that's not good.
No, but, cops just do what you do. And everybody stay calm. And, arrest people that are, hurting people or trying to hurt people, whatever. I mean, it's easy. Law and order. So I don't think it's going to be a big deal. Of course, there'll be tons of security. And, I don't know. Hopefully, I don't know. But I wouldn't worry about it too much. I think the interesting thing is the bond market. I mean, the most interesting thing, and the Mexican peso.
What's the deal with the stock market at an all-time high?
I mean, the stocks just kind of coasting up, but what's going on is the bonds. People are selling the bonds, so the interest rates are going up. And again, it's because of this infrastructure program.
Explain to our listeners what that means and how that works.
Basically, because he's going to do infrastructure, it's going to stimulate the economy. It's a huge stimulus for the economy, you know. And so it's just going to, there's going to be more money in the system and stuff. So interest rates go up, money, you know, and that's a good thing, in my opinion. I mean, people that have been, you know, trying to save a little money, especially, you know, just pensioners and whoever, man, it's like they've been being punished.
Right.
You know, with these terribly low interest rates. And it's
they have been.
To the stock market instead, and they get free money at Goldman Sachs to leverage the, Guatemalan Quetzal or whatever. And so it's bad. So right away, interest rates are going up. I'm just saying it's a good thing. And gold's going down. That's a good thing. It's kind of crashing almost. So all you gold bugs, sorry, but it looks like, you know, Trump is, anyway, Trump's having this stabilizing effect for now that I didn't expect. And where things are, I don't know, it's interesting.
No, the whole thing, and he's staying away from the Ivy League crew for most of his cabinet positions, which is kind of nice.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope he keeps clear of that.
He is.
For sure.
No, he's staying pretty well away from it.
Seems like it.
Here's another new appointment that is a little bit of a concern. I don't know that I'd call her a neocon. But this KT McFarland,
what's she going to be?
She's now on Trump's national security team.
I see. She might be on the other time, you're thinking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's, let's see, hold on here. Let me pick up a couple things. A quote from her. Russia has restarted the Cold War and is pushing us up against us and our allies in Northern Europe, Central Europe, and the Middle East. See, that's total BS. That's wrong. And that's a very disconcerting quote. I don't like that.
It's going to be hard. Look, I mean, the Beltway...
It's okay. You know, let me say one thing. It's okay if she says that. I don't care. As long as she follows orders. If Trump tells her that we're working with Putin and the Russians, and she says, yes, sir, fine with me.
And he's going to have to just really go with that and not be swayed.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. World War III, and we're all gone. So
and Putin wants to get along. He says as much as soon as he was elected.
He absolutely did.
Again, reached out his hand to the U.S. How many times has he done that and got it cut off? But hey, he's still got 3-4 fingers, maybe. And so, yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing, though, and that's what you worry about. And like I said, that's why the Iran tough talk worries me. You know, he doesn't like to do that or whatever. Because
I don't know. Let's see after he gets sworn in what the real truth is.
See.
You know, he's not even president yet. And I think after he gets sworn in, I'm going to forecast that we're going to see some things that he has not talked much about for political reasons. And I think after he's in office, we're going to see in the first 30 days a real pattern, which may surprise some people.
Yeah. Another interesting thing is he didn't really meet with the NSA and the CIA and everything right away.
No, do you know what he did? since he won the election? He cut off the daily intelligence briefings.
Right?
That's amazing.
I know. That's a good sign. And most people, they're horrified by it, but it's a good sign.
He knows he'll get programmed if he goes into that scene.
That's the Rothschild Intelligence Network. That's the enforcer arm of the Rothschild banking.
So we got to take a break, Dean. Hold on. That to me was very encouraging. That's a real unique sign that this man may be trying to be his own man. And fascinating. Hold on. Be right back with Dean Henderson. Just a minute. Okay, and welcome back. Let me ask you about, when I voted for the first time in decades, and I voted basically for peace. I looked at it as a war and peace issue. Clinton's comments about what she was going to do were not acceptable to me. at all. And I don't want war. NATO now has 300,000 troops, as you know, countless missiles, men, command and control centers, aerial stuff, all kinds of stuff going on. And this is right literally within sight of the Russian border. Now, you know this, Dean, I think. Most people don't. The United Nations Charter allows any member nation to militarily take action to remove a real threat on its border. They are allowed by UN Charter and UN laws to cross their own border and take out the military threat that they are concerned about. So he's within his rights now to go after it if he wanted to. The guy is a master of restraint, in my view, and I think his diplomacy has been extraordinary. What is your take on it?
Well, they're waiting to see what Trump's going to do. Obviously, I think.
Sure, of course.
You know, right? I mean,
absolutely.
You know, remember last time we talked? I mean, I remember that, and it was the all-time high of tensions right about then, about a month ago here, and Trump got elected. So it's definitely, there's hope on that side, you know. They've kind of cut the rhetoric back, the Russians have. On the other hand, they haven't cut the action in Syria back, just quietly, destroying and decimating ISIS and hopefully close to taking Aleppo back, you know, but they're just waiting. That's why it's just so important. Like you say, he doesn't listen to this McFarland or whoever, these neocons or whoever, and he just goes ahead with it.
I mean, I made that point earlier.
And the American people said, it's okay to be friends with Putin, so let's be friends with Putin. And that would be just huge. I mean, that would just change everything.
If I can say this again out there to everyone, we need to judge the cabinet appointments on the basis of the president. They're not freelancers. They're not independent contractors. They're to do the job that he describes needs to be done. Now, if they're good at that, fine. And if there's anybody, I think if anybody steps out of line, I think they'll kick their ass out.
Well, yeah, that's what you hope. It's just not that they don't, and, you know, but like I said, he stays away from Harvard and Yale, and he has been, so it is good, and let's keep it up.
And, no skull and bones. Aren't we all sick of that,
exactly,
for God's sakes?
And so he keeps that going. It's a good thing, because they'll just gang up on you. I mean, that's the norm, and I'm sure there's a lot of pressure, Council on Foreign Relations and the like. And,
right.
But go slow, and, you know, just hopefully, like I said, hopefully, I think Trump really, you know, the thing about him is he's not an ideologue. I mean, that's the thing about Trump that everybody, I think, could agree on. He's not an ideologue. I mean, you know, way back he was pro-choice and now he's against it. And way back he went to Hillary's wedding and, you know, whatever, fine. But I'm just saying he's not an ideologue. He's really not. He just wants, you know, so, like, you could go to Trump and say, hey, look, I know you're into coal and Hillary was the fracking queen and actually gas has a much higher carbon footprint. So she was wrong about this whole clean, you know. But anyway, but the point being, you could go to Trump and say, hey, look, solar is now cheaper than fossil fuel. Look what Abu Dhabi's doing. You know, look what China's doing. It actually is. There's been this quantum huge leap in solar technology just in the last, you know, 15 months.
Correct.
And you say, look, Trump, there's more money in this. This is a better way to do it. Let's redo the infrastructure with all solar and all this, you know, and whatever. And I think he'd do it because he's not an ideologue.
I agree. You know, he's also open. He's also open to people, I think, influencing him with logic and good arguments.
Exactly.
I think
that's I mean.
That's your point. I'm taking it a step further.
Yeah, exactly right. And so, you know, that's the good thing. And on the other hand, if you get enough neocons in a room and they do that and they lie, you know, I mean,
right.
I think he'll find out pretty quickly.
The guy seems to be a hands-on kind of a guy. He doesn't sleep 18 hours a day like Hillary does.
Yeah, right.
Can you imagine?
It's not going to be easy, but if he could just do that, we'll just rapprochement with Russia and Iran, it's a package deal, and I don't even
wins.
Flynn knows that, but I hope they know that that's a package deal, that you can't get along with Russia and diss Iran. They're just not going to go for that. So
that's right.
Back off the borders, like you say, you know, get the stuff out of Latvia, Lithuania.
Putin had to move Iskander missiles into Kaliningrad, and he should have.
And he should have. And like you said, he's shown incredible restraint, not taking it a step further and just whacking them. But he did that in Georgia, you remember, when, you know, in South Ossetia, when they just kind of put pushed up to the line. He just invaded Georgia and took it, and they still got it. And so they have done it, and they'll do it again. But they're waiting for Trump, and they're going to see, is this guy reasonable? And then I bet you if he's not, there's going to be big trouble. So I just hope, yeah, let's just pray and hope and try to influence it that way and keep talking about it. It's so important. It's so important, and that's, yeah.
Like, well, I think, you know, there's another thing, and what I hear in your voice is a typical Dean Henderson logic and pragmatism. And I've seen two stories that I've run about more and more Americans are suddenly deciding that Trump isn't such a bad guy after all.
Yeah.
They kind of shook off that year and a half of pounding from the mainstream media that he was, you know, the most horrible human being on the planet.
I would never want to hang out with this guy. He is the kind of person that,
No, he's not Dean Henderson. Not your kind of guy.
It's not just that. It's just the fact that he's just self-important. He's arrogant. He's the center of attention. He has to be. He's obviously a guy that his daddy was hard on him. He didn't love him enough. And he's always had to prove himself. And I feel kind of sorry for him that way.
That's a good observation. I haven't heard that.
Him that way. And I
except
would never,
from one other person.
In my million years, I want to hang out with this guy because he's the kind of person that just drives me nuts.
Right.
And I think he'll drive with a lot of people nuts. And that's the rub. I mean, it wasn't anything else more than just like, people don't like that. People from the Midwest, they just don't like that when you're bravado and you're all talking shit about yourself and how great you are. Come on, man. It's just like, really? They just don't like that out here in the Midwest. And so that's why Bernie, you know, did it, and that, you know, but you know, they hated Hillary. They hated Hillary. They know she's a crooked criminal. So it was a terrible, terrible, terrible choice to have to make. You know, let me be clear. I mean, I'm being hopeful on Trump, but just let me be clear about, you know, look, it was a terrible choice. And my thing was crushed when Bernie got railroaded, and I knew that this choice was going to be terrible. So on election night, you know, I just was slightly tickled that Trump won because, like, as I've told you, I would have picked him over Hillary.
Yes, you were very clear about that.
Much better with Bernie, in my opinion.
Let me ask you a question about
Jill Stein, who's left of Bernie, and she's not helping Hillary. There's no freaking way. She hates Hillary. Jill Stein helping Hillary? No.
Let me ask you a question, Bernie. What does he say at this point? He got beat up. We pretty well agree on that, I think.
I saw the actual ring mark finally just the other day. He was being interviewed, I think, on Stephen Colbert like a week ago, and the scar is still there.
Oh, it's not going away.
I had not seen it, but I saw exactly what it is.
Now, if you go back and look the day before, he was beaten up the day before, the night before he endorsed Clinton. And when he endorsed her, that was a raw, ugly wound. Bad.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely, look, he's, since the election, he's definitely been more Bernie again, just talking the stuff and basically saying you should have elected me, probably. And, you know, in a way that, you know, he's not saying it directly, but he's definitely kind of taking Clinton a little to the woodshed and saying,
what is he saying about the fact that we now know
the Democratic Party's got to change, like, wake up, like, quit being a corporate, you know, hack party like the Republicans are, you know, and do the same party now. And Bernie was trying to say, look, let's go back to FDR. Let's go back to, the vilified socialists, you know, Eugene Debs or whatever, that actually gave a damn about working people and didn't care really so much about abortion or gay rights or guns or whatever. It's just Republican ammunition in election time is all that is. It's like the book What's the Matter with Kansas that Thomas Frank wrote, which is an excellent book about why Democrats keep losing elections. And it's what I tried to do when I ran for Congress. Like, if you're going to, you know, and then it just, you know, they go back to this position where, and, you know, and it's really just because they would rather have Trump than Sanders, the elite of the Democratic Party, because they're all millionaires and billionaires. And it's the class thing.
We still don't know.
And that's what we're going to see is the class thing. Is a billionaire really going to be able to help working people? And maybe he will, because of the reasons we just talked about, that he will listen and that, you know, whatever. Maybe he will, but it's going to be crazy.
We'll know soon enough.
He does.
Let me ask you this question now. Because of the WikiLeaks emails from that horrible Podesta.
The pedophile Podesta.
Yeah, man, Pizzagate, if that isn't enough to curl your toenails.
You bet.
I don't know what it would be.
Like I say last night, Julian Assange a hero, you know, for getting that stuff out.
Now, we don't know his status. He's kind of, we don't know.
Been quiet, that's true.
Is he being held somewhere? Is he dead? We don't know.
Been quiet, that's
rumors, true. Rumors, rumors, rumors. Those emails proved and showed without a question of a doubt that the whole process was perverted, corrupted. Yeah. Bernie Sanders was cheated out of the nomination.
Yeah, and the Clintons are saying this.
Yeah.
That was the dagger. I mean, it really was the dagger. That's what did her in. That set of emails. I'm convinced of it, that it left alone. You know, there's just enough, say, you know, whatever, all the women or black voters who said, you know what, if that's true, I'm staying home. And they did. They stayed home because of that last barrage from Assange. And he said, you know, he was gonna put stuff out that would cause her to lose the election, and he wasn't kidding.
Okay. So, here's another one for you. Now, for those of you new to the program, we do try to present a lot of views here, and Dean is a little left to center, and he is a very bright man, and he's always well worth listening to. Let me get your take on there's so many things to go here. Let me think here. I'll get back to it in a minute. What do we think about the first 100 days? What should he do about Obamacare, in your view? Where does that whole thing play? You know, and then I'll get to the big one in a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, he's already said, like, in his one of his post-election tapes that he is going to nix the Trans-Pacific trade deal.
So that's dead.
That's dead. And they actually has been taught they're not going to try to push that through in a lame duck session. So that's good. So that's not happening. It's done. Then he should get on this infrastructure thing and sign this tax thing where the money comes home from the tax havens to pay for it.
He's trying to talk Apple into coming home with manufacturing here and giving him tax breaks.
Yeah, he's talking to a lot of companies.
Yeah.
So I've heard. So, you know, that kind of stuff. That's what we need. Still the jury's out on whether the Fed crowd and him are going to get along, right? What's he going to do about that? So, I would say that, you know, the thing that they'll do is they'll punish you because Carter, who he's got a bad rap, but he was really a pretty good president, did some good things, and they crushed him with high interest rates, the Fed. I mean, they hated him. And so they just made it hard for him. And that's what they can do to Trump, and that's the downside of interest rates going up. Like I said, they are pretty fast. The 10-year bond's kind of zipping. And so that's the other thing we got to watch for. Are they going to do that to Trump and punish him with high interest rates if they don't like him, if in fact he is a rogue or whatever? So you got to get, in other words, you got to get the economic stuff done first and get out of these trade deals and get our sovereignty back. I would cancel NAFTA and just start over. I hope you
that. Let's not stop there. You know, let's get out of the UN.
And do what he's doing with Obamacare. Pick out the good parts, keep it, which, you know, you can't, you know.
Pre-existing conditions should not be barred from a new health policy. And that's one of the good parts.
No. And there's a few good parts. But he's not going to do what I want to do, which is single payer health care. So there's no way. So I don't know what he's talking about, health savings accounts. But look, it's just, you know, until you get insurance companies out of health care completely, and have single-payer health care, the insurance companies are always going to be in charge.
It should be a birthright. I've never understood this. We have the money. It ought to be a birthright.
It ought to be a birthright, and it is in every other country, including South Africa. That was the only other one until apartheid ended. Now they have free health care for their people, single-payer health care. So if people want private stuff, they can pay for it and get a hot shot, whatever, and pay for it, you know, fine, do it. But he's not going to do that. So I don't know on healthcare, man. I don't know. It's not a priority. I'd say it's not a priority. I mean, compared to Russia, compared to trade, compared to, you know, just getting this economy going again with infrastructure. I would focus on those three things. You know, foreign policy, getting good with Russia, Iran. Stop the whole thing in Syria. Just cut them off. If they did, then the Syrian army would take Aleppo tomorrow. You know, no problem. Even go after the Israeli Mossad guys that are training them. But, you know, that's a pipe dream, probably. We'll see what happens. You know, the Saudi thing's interesting. He's made threats against Saudis that he wants to cut off the oil. And how's that going to play out?
Big statement.
Yeah, it's a big statement. So will he follow through with that? See, because he's got to understand, if he follows through with that, he has to be friends with Iran. Just simply out of the fact that we need their oil, if nothing else. But see, Trump is he's a pragmatist businessman, so I think he'll get that. And the Russians will say, look, you need the oil. And, hey, by the way, we got oil, too. And, you know, whatever. We got vodka, too. Let's trade, you know. Let's have some fair trade, you know. Fine. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. That's just what I'm hoping out of him, is he'll just chill out and just be a pragmatist and just be the kind of like...
I'm with you. I'm hoping for the same thing.
Get along call home the dogs, and then we use... And, you know, yeah, we pay for the infrastructure with the taxes coming home from the Caymans.
Right.
But we can pay for other stuff, or just pay down debt with the savings from the Pentagon that hopefully
right.
we're going to see. So that's a huge one.
Right.
Foreign policy and... what's the third one? Well, the infrastructure program.
That's huge,
that.
I think. All right, now, here's the big one.
Yeah.
Going back to George Bush. No, I'm not going to prosecute the Clintons. We have to move forward. We have things to do. Obama. No, I'm not going to prosecute George W. Bush. We have things to do. We have to move forward. Donald Trump. No, I'm not going to prosecute or appoint a special prosecutor for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
He actually said, we have to move forward.
Yeah,
that's a quote. They're all doing the same thing. So, your thoughts on that?
I hope it's not a secret handshake, you know. I don't know if Trump's, you know, I never did check in. Is he a Mason? The part about Trump that worries me is still kind of what Michael Collins Piper wrote. And Michael Collins Piper, to me... It wrote the best book about the Kennedy assassination. And so, I mean, I think he's pretty reputable dude, because he's the guy that fingered the Mossad, you know, and
right,
more so,
right.
And kind of got to British intelligence. Now, the LaRouches really got on British intelligence, and that's who did it. But see, I'll just read a quote. He talks about, let's see here. Yeah, he's talking about the influence of the Rothschilds on the Republican primary, and including Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. And he talks about Trump acquired a 93% interest in Resorts International, longtime CIA drug laundry launched by Rothschild Lieutenant Meyer Lansky's protege, Robert Vesco.
I didn't know Vesco was directly tied to Lansky.
Yeah, and the Rothschilds and Rockefellers. And see, Lansky was created by, you know, the Rothschilds. And so, yeah, Vesco was, yeah. Anyway, Resorts International. So he owns 93% of this. One of the most notorious, you know, CIA...
Vesco is still alive? Is Vesco still alive?
He was in Costa Rica, the last I heard. He was, because of no extradition treaty. I think he is. I don't think...
Let me write his name here. I'll find out.
A bit sick to know. But, so, that's, you know, we're going to find out. Yeah, so it was a secret handshake. Don't prosecute the Clintons. I mean, because part of me has always been like, well, it's the Vegas mob that's Trump versus the Dixie mob that's the Clintons or something.
No, he died 2007.
Okay.
And you know where he died?
Yeah.
He died in Havana.
He died in Havana. That's right. I remember that. I do remember that now. Yeah.
How's that?
Mm-hmm.
Wild.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Yeah, because he had, anyway. But those guys are bad, so... That's what concerns me about Trump is, yeah, so that, you know, I don't know. Like I say, it's a wait and see. It is what it is. And we just got to hope for the best. And that's all I know what to tell people. I mean.
All right. How's it going on, I guess, what are you, on press or RT?
Press TV. Yeah, I haven't done much at RT. I don't know. I think they got a little. I think, honestly, they're pretty anti-American lately. And I think my analysis is a little... Like, you know, because I basically say the City of London runs it all, and it's almost like they don't want to hear that. So they just kind of quit having me on. But Press TV's better, and I think. I really do. I mean, I've always thought that. And RT, I mean, they're fine, but...
You know what, Mrs.
A little bit more traditional lefty, like you see Chomsky on there.
You know what Mrs. Merkel said today?
Huh?
She says she wants to put an end to the alternative media on the Internet. Mrs. Merkel.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, so this is a huge... Yeah, that's what they're trying to do. They're really mad. Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's good to see that they're mad, at least, and they're kind of squirming about that media thing. Well, I mean...
Oh, yeah. Media, well, that's the perfect barometer.
That was one of the greatest things about that election, too, was just how far off the media was about everything, and the pollsters and everybody. And if that doesn't kind of... I don't know, sour some more people on the mainstream media in America.
And they come out, Dean, and they're the ones who come out with the idea that we in the alternative media are creating fake news.
Yeah,
when
exactly.
they are the inventors and the masters of it?
Every half hour is just a half hour of lies. So, yeah, it's pretty rich. Like, as I said before, pot calls the kettle black on that because,
yeah.
I mean, so, but just to see him squirming and kind of taking a slap at us, it's kind of fun, right?
It is funny. It's,
right,
hey, they're irritated.
Myself and whatever, because, you know, it's people like me, too, that, you know, are happy to be left, but tell the truth. So, yeah, screw you. I got footnotes. Sue me. Nobody has yet, so.
That's funny.
Yeah, shit.
All right, well, we got a lot going on here. January 20th, we'll see. Hopefully it's gets a day that goes off relatively normally, and we can make our business watching what's happening and supporting where we need to support and, you know, applauding when we need to applaud and criticizing when we need to criticize.
Yeah.
That's what it's supposed to be all about.
Yeah, be engaged with your democracy or we'll lose it. Actually, that's most of what Bernie Sanders has been doing, you know, since, you know, he got screwed is just building
terrible candidates.
And getting people to run for county commission and city council and things like that, and that's what he's doing. And then Tulsi Gabbard reaching out to Trump, you know, and saying, hey, man, that was probably going to be Bernie's VP. But just keep rocking the boat, man, and keep agitating and keep, I saw there were some protesters at Black Friday at the malls today. Great. Just keep engaged.
Really? What were they saying?
And just, if your candidate didn't win, so what? Doesn't matter. Just that basically, you know, they were talking about how the workers, man, didn't get to spend their time with family and stuff.
No.
And
yeah.
It's true. And it's like Black Friday. It's creepy. Black Friday. It's like some satanic. Yeah, it is. It's like some satanic cash day, you know, where they, yeah, instead of just staying with your family, you don't know, your priority is to go to the mall and consume. It's horrible. I hate it. I hate that thing.
It's a very grim testimonial to greed.
So I was glad. It's just a bunch of young kids, but it's cool. You know, just anything to keep them on their toes, man.
All right.
Macy's on their toes, baby.
Yeah.
So,
listen, Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, man. And
yeah.
I hope just have a chill holiday. Try to take it easy, man, and just, you know, you do a lot. So you should take some rest, man.
No, I'd like to. Thanks, Dean.
Just do it, man.
Give my best to Jill, all right? Take care.
I will. All right, you too, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
You
take
bet.
Care.
Good night. Okay, there's our organic left-winger, Dean Henderson. You can catch him on Press TV. He's got a columnist box at Rents, and always happy to have him on the program. Very pragmatic man. We'll be right back.